This episode of The Run-Thru is brought to you by eBay. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal and shop authentic handbags, watches, sneakers, streetwear, and jewelry from eBay, backed by Authenticity Guarantee. Visit ebay.com for terms.
This is The Run-Thru, and I'm Lila Ramsey.
I'm Margo Ambuba, and we're actually sitting in for Chloe and Choma this week as your hosts.
This week on Vogue.com, we released a guide to shopping the best vintage all over the world. It has been something that Margo and I have been working on for weeks and weeks, so we're so excited that it's up.
Yes, so we're going to have some hot shopping tips coming your way, and as well as some of our favorite places to find the best vintage. We're going to be talking to Emily Chan of British Vogue also.
And I'm so happy to be having this conversation with you because I have to say, when Margo was first hired, a certain director came to me and said, Lila, there's another Arab girl from Houston who also loves vintage starting next week. And I was so excited to have Margo on board. So we talk about all things vintage offline, off the podcast, off Slack. And now we're here on the podcast.
We've yet to go shopping together, but
we have yet to go shopping together, which we need to change, even though I feel like we've been digitally shopping, sending each other store recommendations and pieces that the other person should own. But it's not happened IRL just yet. But first, we have an amazing conversation. Chloe Mal has spoken to Amber Valletta, the icon, the supermodel, the environmental advocate. She is a vintage devotee. She's been going to the Met Gala since the 90s. She's worn vintage to the Met Gala. So we're so excited to have Amber and Chloe on chatting about all things vintage Met.
Well, Amber, we were so excited to chat with you. And honestly, Choma has been talking about having you on for ages, but she is obviously on London time, so it was too hard to make it work. But then we had this, like, amazing confluence of Earth Day, and we just launched a vintage guide, which is amazing, on Vogue.com, and the Met coming in 2 weeks. We were like, we have to talk to Amber about all things Earth Day, Met Gala, vintage, and the sort of Venn diagram overlap between them all.
Yeah.
But most fun, I feel like you're one of – I used to always edit the Met special issues, and we would do, like, the people who had been to the gala the most and had sort of killed it the most consistently, and you were always one of our top choices. How many times do you think you've been? Like, over a dozen, right?
Oh, for sure, because I started going in the night, like, late 90s, and it was totally different event.
Describe it. What was it like?
Like, much smaller. Only industry, fashion industry people were there. I mean, I'm sure there were some New York sort of socialites that, you know, could afford the ticket, but it was very small and, like, people didn't dress to theme.
Right.
That's the point. And I remember I went with the Versaces in that amazing gold beaded couture jumpsuit, probably 99, but the top of 99.
Okay.
And then I definitely was there even before that wearing random vintage. I remember I had one that was like a velvet, some sort of dress, very, very vintage looking. I think the one that I went to the Versaces with, I believe, I want to say Prince performed, or maybe Prince was there. I mean, it was just a very different event. And the red carpet was not what it is today. I mean, that's a whole event in itself.
Yeah.
Right.
I want to talk about this image that I always come back to. You were wearing this incredible John Galliano skirt in 2004. The theme was Dangerous Liaison. And I feel like that was at the very beginning of people starting to dress on theme. Can you describe what that look was and how you sort of had the chutzpah to pull it off and how it came to be?
Yeah, it was actually, you're exactly right. Nobody was really dressing to theme at that time. And I was in New York shooting the film Hitch. And Anna had invited me to the Met. And she asked me to come into the Vogue office and speak with her and the team. And so when I came in, she said, I really want you to go for it. And I was kind of like, what does she mean? And she said, no, I want you to go for it. And I was like, okay. And they gave me the skirt and the bustier. And I remember at the time, I mean, nobody had stylists back then. So, like, you know, I think the team at Vogue helped style me, right? They sent me the outfit. And then I was working with film hair and makeup, and they were actually a really great team. And I asked them if they would do me for this event. And I said, let's do something fun. I think, you know, Anna has asked me to sort of dress to the theme. And they just loved it. You know, they were like, okay. And we went for it. But I just remember going, and I either got really nice positive feedback, or I literally had people who I was friendly with kind of poking fun at me.
And for people who don't have an image of this look, you had a full Marie Antoinette hairdo. I mean, you put Sofia Coppola costumes to shame. I mean, it was the full volume bouffant, curls,
yes,
corset, full skirt. It was spectacular.
Yes.
And it was for the Dangerous Liaison exhibition. So it was very much,
exactly,
you fit in perfectly in the Jane Reitzman galleries.
Exactly.
Do you have a favorite look you've worn? Would that be it? Or is there something since then that you think back on and you just loved being in it?
That's tough. I really loved the Model as Muse look.
Yeah.
The Galanos. I loved that color.
Can you describe that?
Sure. It was a chartreuse, beautiful sheath dress that kind of, it form fitted the body, but not like, it wasn't body conscious. It was like just beautiful open in the front. The arms showed. I believe the back was open.
Halter neck, almost like Grecian draping.
Exactly. See, you're better at describing these things than I am. Grecian draping, exactly. And gave like a beautiful hip line. It was exquisitely cut. It was a beautiful vintage dress. And, you know, I got to feel, I think the whole point of it was I got to feel most like myself. And it was a tribute to the work that we've all contributed,
yeah,
to the fashion industry. So that was a really special night. And also, I've just, that dress is just so heavenly.
Do you still have it?
I actually borrowed that dress.
Oh.
See, this is the thing that's very interesting, that people don't always, you know, own their dresses. And in some ways that also makes it sustainable. And I've borrowed a lot of my outfits for the Met. I have a few, and then others, they were borrowed.
Yeah. Are there any vintage dresses that you've worn that you've loved?
I own this dress, and I wore this dress, and I'm trying to think, I think it was actually the Anglo-Saxon one, which was more like Vivienne Westwood.
Yeah.
Right. I went to the Anglo-Saxon one with Linda Evangelista.
I think it was Anglomania, not Anglo-Saxon, but
Anglomania.
But I like that. Makes it more Robin Hoody.
So sorry. I haven't even finished my coffee yet. Thank you. Anglomania, you're right.
Oh, I see for Anglomania, it's like a beautiful red.
Yes.
Is it silk or taffeta? I can't tell, but sort of a corset,
it's silk.
A bustier top. With a great draping. Was that Vivienne Westwood? Who made
with
that?
With flowers.
Yes.
No, the funny thing was that it was vintage, and the tag only says Saks Fifth Avenue. That's all the tag says. There's no designer, but I thought the dress was so beautiful, and it kind of was reminiscent of Vivienne in a way, but not like on the nose. And I loved that dress. I thought it was really beautiful.
It's so beautiful.
And I still have that dress. I wonder if I can even get into that dress. That's where my head goes. I actually was looking at it and thinking that would actually be on point for this year's Met.
Totally.
The flowers and everything.
Do you have a special like archive closet that you keep these dresses in, or they're just in your regular closet?
They're in my regular closet. And probably anyone who collects vintage would probably, you know, flip a gasket. But I do keep them.
What do you search for online? Like, how do you know what to look for if you're hunting?
I think it just depends on what it is you're looking for. I personally don't usually shop vintage online, but if it's something more current, like, and I want to do resale, then it's really simple. It's like, okay, you know, a pair of, I don't know, Saint Laurent boots, or even like a, you know, vintage Levi. But a lot of times you can find stuff like a Levi, you know, you go to a small town and you go into like their their local thrift store, and you can find those things, right?
Yeah.
I go thrifting a lot with my son and stepdaughters when we travel, because they love vintage.
That's fun. Where's the last place you guys all went thrifting together?
I think in Oklahoma last summer, we went to a bunch of these, like, just hopped around to these kind of like cheap little thrift stores. And
you're from Oklahoma, right?
Yeah, from Tulsa. You know, they have everything from, like, I don't know, lamps and old radios and then clothes. I mean, some of them are really, like, you know, a lot of tchotchkes. But again, I also find things like on like social media, like a pop-up for a vintage. Like, there were some great pop-ups in Paris during the shows when I was there like a year or so ago. And actually, Kate Moss told me about the pop-up and I followed the lady. And then, like,
did you get anything?
Yeah.
Oh, what'd my you God, get?
That was a good hit. Oh, that was a good one. I got this beautiful, like, cherry red Balenciaga mohair coat. And then I got an incredible Saint Laurent jumpsuit, which is identical, basically, to what they're doing right now.
Oh, my God. Out. When is it from, do you think?
Whenever he did those. I mean, I'm sure Saint Laurent kept doing that jumpsuit. I feel like that was part of his repertoire. But this one is leopard.
Oh my God, heaven.
It's heaven.
Have you worn
it? It's heaven. I've totally worn it. It's on my Instagram. I sent actually to Anthony a picture of it and he loved it. It's really dope.
Is there like a vintage white whale, like a piece you're always looking for?
You know, I'm going to be really honest. I'm not that kind of shopper.
Okay.
I try to shop from my closet. Two, I'm really blessed to be able to borrow and collaborate with designers and, you know, small stores that are carrying vintage.
And Amber, can you just tell us a couple of things that you do as part of your day-to-day routine to live a more sustainable existence?
It's sort of part of the sustainable lifestyle, so sort of ingrained in me, and some these things I practice don't seem like practice. But one of the big things is I'm a registered voter. I'm very mindful about what I eat because I know the impact, especially that beef has on the planet.
Yeah.
And I shop from my closet a lot. Even though modeling is my job and kind of promoting the idea of, you know, of selling something, I try to be very mindful about what I buy. I just don't want people to think that clothing and things in life are disposable.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, just because you clean your house out and it doesn't mean that it's going to not go somewhere. It doesn't magically disappear. Like,
right.
It's still on the planet. You know, it's just being mindful, I think, of, you know, nothing leaves this planet. Everything we've created stays here. And we just have to be mindful about what we take, what we buy, how we dispose of it, how we design it. And yeah, and I think a little more care for each other rather than just like, what do I want? What do I want? What makes me feel good in this moment?
Yeah.
It's not the same thing as self-care or self-love. There's selfishness and then there's self-love and self-care, which ultimately means if I care for myself, I'm going to care for you, right? And vice versa. So to me, it's a little bit of practicing that as well on a daily basis.
Well, I think that's a nice place to end as we all use some self-care and care for everyone else. But thank you so much. I'm so happy to chat with you. And
thank you so much, Chloe.
Excited to think about vintage more.
So Amber is one of many individuals who has turned up to the Met Gala red carpet looking absolutely killer in vintage looks. And we have rounded up all of these moments. It's in a beautiful gallery. It's on Vogue.com. And it's definitely something you should take a look at ahead of Monday's Met.
You can have my click. The Run Through will be back in a moment.
At eBay, you'll always get that feel of real. because your fashion purchase will be backed by Authenticity Guarantee. Whether it's an it bag, a must-have watch, dreamy jewelry, or fire sneakers and fresh streetwear, every step will feel authentic, every flex will feel real. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal with eBay Authenticity Guarantee. Visit ebay.com for terms.
And we're back. I'm Margo Ambuba.
And I'm Lila Ramsey.
I'm Emily Chan. I'm the Senior Sustainability and Features Editor at British Vogue.
So just this week, Vogue released our Global Vintage Guide. We're so excited about it.
All three of us have such a passion for vintage. I think we're all sitting here in vintage, we presume.
Oh, should we say what we're wearing right now?
Let's do it. Margo, what are you wearing? I can see it, but describe it.
I am wearing a late 1940s handmade dress. It has orange roses on it. So sort of also paying homage to the Met theme a little. It has puff sleeves and rhinestones. And then I have a rhinestone glass necklace on from the 40s also.
I'm wearing an upcycled piece made out of vintage denim. So it's by ELV Denim, and it's a London-based brand. And yeah, she uses denim that she sources from vintage warehouses and makes them into kind of jeans and also this dress that I'm wearing. So kind of on theme.
Amazing.
Definitely on theme. Well, I love that Margo's in proper vintage, 1940s. You're in upcycled. I'm in, let's say, a gray area vintage, which is the archival era. Everyone has their different definition for vintage, but I think officially we're deciding that it's pieces that are 20 years and older are officially vintage. So I'm wearing a skirt that is a couple years shy of that. I'm wearing a skirt from Oscar de la Renta's 2008 collection. And in 4 years, it'll be vintage because I think it's 16 years old.
That skirt could drive a car.
She's old enough.
Emily, will you explain a little bit what upcycled clothing actually is?
Upcycled is basically taking something that is usually secondhand or it could be dead stock and basically adding value to it. So I guess that's the difference between recycling and upcycling. So the upcycling part is that you're adding value. So usually we're talking about designers, you know, like Conor Rives, who are taking vintage T-shirts and, making them into a brand new piece.
And Lila, do you want to talk to us about the difference between secondhand and archival? And I think another interesting part of the vintage world is consignment, which we see a lot of, too.
Yes. As we were putting together our best vintage stores around the world, I think it was very important for all of us to denote, okay, which of these stores are actually vintage? Who's doing consignment? Who's doing designer resale? And there's a lot of buzzwords in this sort of era and section of the fashion industry. So we have consignment, which could really mean anything. Consignment just means that a piece is on consignment. So it could be vintage. It could just be designer from a couple seasons ago. So if you're looking for vintage, that is a store that is carrying pieces that are 20 years or older. And then you have pieces that are not yet vintage, like the skirt that I'm wearing today. They will be vintage at some point. Everything in our closets will be vintage. But I think archival pieces are also having a really hot moment now, given that there's so much interest in, you know, past runway pieces that are not so old. I know the younger generation, Gen Z, seems to be obsessed with the 90s. Pieces from the 90s are vintage, but there are more recent pieces that are highly coveted right now. And it's so surprising to me because I've sort of like lived through it all to see it come back as a trend today.
I do think it's really interesting, like being in your 30s and now living through the first cycle of something that's become vintage. And I'm finding it actually kind of painful to be like, oh, that's vintage. I remember when I wore that to my 8th grade dance school.
There are some things that I personally don't need to partake in the second time around. That's how I feel about things. But
I think I was the only person that was excited that super low-rise jeans were coming back. Everyone was like, no, it's too soon, even though it was right on time when it came to 20 years
of vintage. I think you're on your own there, Margot. I'm shaking my head.
Yeah, I'm not on board either.
Yeah, I was not allowed to wear super low-rise jeans. And so when I got a pair of like the zipper is smaller than my AirPod case, True Religion jeans, I was thrilled. I feel so cool in those jeans. Like my middle school self was thrilled. And it was crazy that this was circling back in vintage.
But are you shopping for those low-rise denim and low-rise pants now or?
I bought them like a year ago. So, I do wear them. Yes. Every once in a while, I'll be like,
Okay, I want to talk about these like vintage holy grail items that I don't know if we have an actual shopping list that you keep that is, you know, on the forefront of your mind when you're out shopping. But Emily, Margot, tell me, like, what do you guys want to buy when you're out vintage hunting and you hope to unearth in, like, a pile of clothes?
So I am more of a unusual vintage shopper. I love to go to estate sales. I grew up in Texas, like Lila. And I love to do things like that. I love to dig. I like to go to warehouses, things like that. Claude Montana is someone that I really love. May he rest in peace. He passed away a couple months ago. Of course, there's like Mugler. I love people that really dress for the feminine body. But something that's really important to me and a vintage movement that I think is really important to preserve are the homemade makers. So people that were making dresses at home, because Chanel, Dior, all of these incredible designers are being so thoughtfully preserved. And I'm worried about the homemade artists that were doing the same thing on their Singer Kickflip tables and things like that.
So I am quite specific. So I, rather than having maybe a wish list, there's usually one item or something that I'm looking for. So at the moment, that's a vintage leather jacket. And I actually found the perfect Prada vintage leather jacket on Vestiaire, but unfortunately lost out to it, which I was gutted about. But yeah, I guess I shop more by item rather than like a specific designer or era. I'm also really looking for, I find accessories a bit more accessible because I do a lot of my vintage shopping online. And I think just because of sizing and stuff, things like bags are much more accessible. So I've kind of got my eye on a maybe like a Gucci Jackie or a Gucci Horsebit bag.
I'm reluctant to share what I'm shopping for, but I will share it for you guys. I'm very into vintage Mary McFadden these days. I've been collecting a lot of Mary McFadden couture specifically. The pieces are so incredible because really I would love a Fortuny, but Fortuny is slightly out of reach. And then of course, Mary McFadden really pays homage to the Fortuny pleated Delphos gown. And then also loving, and Margot's probably heard me chat about this a lot because Margot sits right next to me and we often do like outfit of the day spins when when we get to the office. But I'm really loving vintage St. John. It's sort of under the radar, maybe hopefully becoming a little more recognized, but I'm buying all these amazing like knitted jackets, like evening jackets, and going out to dinner. Instead of like a cocktail dress, I'll be wearing like a knitted St. John jacket. And
what are you wearing on bottom? Because you famously do not own hard pants, correct?
I don't own jeans.
Those were what I think are hard pants. That's
I'm just not a jeans girl. I love them on other people. I think they can be very fun. Not for me. I'll do like a little like cigarette pant with a bit of stretch. I tend to keep things pretty simple with in the pant arena.
I am also not super into pants. I am hesitant to admit this because it sounds a little wild, but I probably own over 2,000 vintage dresses at this point.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
Yes.
We need the closet tour.
But something that I found a lot of joy in during the pandemic was that I sort of Dewey Decimal System my entire closet. So every single thing has a hang tag on it. It tells me where I bought it, how much I paid for it, history of the designer, where I've worn it. So if I wore it to my niece's christening, if I wore it to my meeting with Anna Wintour to get this job, whatever it is, I wore vintage for all of those things. And I just like find it as a very fun hobby to keep track of all of my clothing. And there's important things about like Lily Diamond, the designer, Susie Perret, all of these people who had quite interesting histories. But it's also really fun to know that I found this Emma Dom dress in the middle of nowhere, Oklahoma, in 2002. I know that's when I bought it or whatever. And now Emma Dom is one of the like hot vintage designers right now that people are really obsessed with and collecting. And her dresses are going for hundreds of dollars when maybe I paid 15 or 20, which is a very fun like brag. Do y'all have search terms or keywords when you are searching?
I go by designer. I get obsessed with the designer's particular runway show or a mood, and then I go hard, and it's really easy to search by designer because I think that's one of the few, you know, pieces of information that at the very least a designer or a seller rather will have that. But a lot of my pieces also don't have any labels. Mm-hmm. And they're some of my favorite pieces. When I'm not searching for designer, then it's definitely by era. And that's kind of tricky because a lot of times when I'm searching online, the seller themselves don't actually know when a piece was made and there's not much reference information. And that's when I get so excited because then I take it upon myself to do all the research.
I have to say, shout out to Laird on our Vogue Runway team.
Yes.
I have read so many of her stories and runway reviews from like 1991 Mugler recently when I was trying to date a dress that I had just bought. And it's so magical to work with someone who was reviewing the shows back then and read her words and really feel like I'm at the show.
I mean, it's all about the references. I love following Shrimpton Couture on Instagram. She's a seller based in Canada. And then there's, of course, Timeless Vixen, who's based out of Los Angeles. And anytime they have a dress that's just, you know, they've gotten their hands on, they're selling it, somehow it's even more interesting when you see all the references. I want to know about your personal collections and what you would sort of identify as the most prized vintage possession you have.
Mine is definitely a more recent one, and it's, I don't know if it's a bit of a cheat one because it came from my mum's closet. Mm. Basically, it's a Dior Columbus bag that my mum bought during the noughties. So I think it just falls into the vintage category. And I actually remember her buying it while we were in holiday in Switzerland together. And I think that's just the beauty of fashion, that, you know, something that she bought back then, I don't think she would have realized that would be desirable now.
What about you, Lila?
I got married last September in a civil wedding, just a civil wedding in City Hall. And I wore a dress from 1957. It is like a very Manhattan wedding, courthouse wedding dress. And I don't know too much about it other than the fact that it was made in 1957 and it comes from Bergdorf Goodman. I love that dress. I bought it on Etsy, and it came from a vintage store in the Netherlands. And as soon as I saw it, I knew that was a dress I had to have. But what's sort of occupying all of my time and attention at the moment is the quest that I've decided to engage in to discover the original owner. It would be a dream if I could figure out who was the original woman to wear this dress. I know there's another name scribbled on the inside, which is O'Keefe, just the last name. So if your last name is O'Keefe and you're listening to this and your grandmother or someone you know was married in 1957, please reach out to me. But the thing I love about that dress is it ripped halfway through my wedding day, which is just, you know, a testament to the fact that when you're wearing these really old pieces, you don't know what's going to happen. And you just got to go with it. Like, I'm sure, Margot, in your many 1940s dresses that you wear, buttons are popping off.
I love to dance, and I classically, obviously, we'll wear vintage to all of these weddings I go to, and the amount of armpits I've blown out from dancing is like actually a little embarrassing.
Do you travel with a sewing kit? You must, right?
I do. I do travel with a really small sewing kit for emergencies. I want to talk a little bit about the challenges of buying vintage. There is a size inclusivity problem when it comes to vintage as well, and it's something that Emma Spector actually wrote about really beautifully for this package. There is a vintage fair that happens in Los Angeles called Thick Thrift, and it's focused on plus size clothing. And this is something I hear from a lot of my friends, is that they're having a really hard time shopping sustainably, shopping vintage, and finding things that fit them.
I do think generally sizing is a big problem in vintage. A lot of vintage that is in bigger sizes is often marketed as oversized. And so the trend for oversized is kind of creating a problem in terms of the lack of bigger pieces out there for plus size people.
There's also a complete lack of standardization in all of the vintage as well.
Yeah. Like, what is size 13, please?
It could be many things. It could be many sizes. And you have to know your measurements. And I think when people might be shopping for vintage online, those sizes aren't listed. So there's just a lot of, in addition to there being a lack of inclusivity in a range of sizes, there's also just a lack of information on, okay, what actually is this in a modern day, you know, US dress size or UK dress size. It can get a little confusing, but I always recommend to anyone shopping online, you have to know your measurements, buy a measuring tape. That's the only way you're going to know, because oftentimes, as Emily and Margaret, I'm sure you can tell me, when you're shopping online, you are not able to return the vintage pieces that you buy. So you have to really be confident that it's going to fit you, because if it's not, then there's only so much you can do if it's too small. It's one thing if it's too big, then it's maybe even an opportunity to get something tailored to you. But I have a tailor whose identity I'm not going to reveal because she's magical and good tailors are hard to come by in New York. But she's actually told me, stop bringing me oversized jackets because it's just a waste of your time, money, and my, you know, efforts to try to get these to fit you, because you could just be buying differently sized pieces that will fit you better without all the work that I have to put into them.
So the Met is just around the corner, as we all know, because we are preparing. Mm-hmm. Do y'all have some favorite Met moments that involve vintage from the past years?
Okay, I'm very passionate about this. One of my favorite ever Met Gala red carpet looks was Natalia Vodianova, and she showed up in a Fortuny gown in 2009, and the thing I loved most about this look is this was sort of before vintage on the red carpet was really something that people were doing in a strategic way. I think now the fashion industry really loves a reference. We love someone who's supporting vintage and is, you know, giving new life to an amazing dress. But Natalia owned this Fortuny dress. She wore it to the Met Gala. I don't think there was a Fortuny dress in the exhibition that she was seeing, but I just love the idea of a supermodel buying her own, like, museum quality vintage piece, wearing it to the museum. It wasn't loaned. It was hers. I have fact-checked this. So that's really where my mind goes to first.
One that I really loved was Nicole Kidman actually, like, referenced herself by wearing a vintage Chanel dress that she owned, and she had worn it in a Chanel perfume ad from 19 years before. And I just think that was really funny that not only was she on theme, we love a girl that goes on theme, she was referencing herself and she was looking incredible and talking about, like, how special it was that she had worn it in an ad. And I thought that was really, like, fun and magical. What about you, Emily?
I think my favorite is probably Lily Rose Depp's Chanel, I think it was 1992 dress, the one with the chains that Christy Turlington originally worn down the runway. I think that was in 2019 that she wore that. But yeah, I just love a fashion reference. I love when you can do the side by side and see, you know, who wore it originally on the runway.
Lily Rose Depp has a lot of good vintage Chanel.
I mean, she plucks it from her mother's closet,
yes,
I'm sure.
But I was going to say, it comes from her mother's closet. She was spotted smoking a cigarette in vintage Chanel, and it was a huge scandal because Shrimpton Couture posted about it and how these items should be respected and these items need to be protected, and how dare she smoke in this item. And it started a really interesting online conversation about garment preservation and about also ownership and, like, the right to do what you want with your garment at the end of the day.
Like, if she owned the dress, by all means, she should be able to light up that cigarette. You know, these dresses deserve fun nights out on the town, so I hope that's what she's giving them. If it was a borrowed piece, I could see how that's problematic. But this goes back to something that I think is a hot topic in vintage and archival red carpet dressing, which is, like, the recreation of the piece and whether or not are we bored of it. I personally, when I guess I'm referencing Natalie Portman at Cannes when she wore the 1949 Junon Dior dress, as soon as she stepped out, I knew that piece was a recreation because the proportions were slightly off and the color was a little bit more, I would say, like, gleaming white than it is now in the museum. It's a little more yellow. But I was so happy that was a recreation, because had even Natalie Portman, who can do no wrong in my book, but had she stepped out onto the red carpet in an actual Junon dress, I think the fashion world would be in a tizzy. Like, it's one of the most important Dior dresses. So I respected that was a recreation.
I have a lot of thoughts about this. Because I think as we've seen the popularity of vintage grow on the red carpet, we've seen an increasing number of recreations. And sometimes I think designs are being recreated for the sake of recreating them, right? To kind of get that clout of having something that's archival on the red carpet, but not necessarily being able to track down the original piece, or, you know, maybe, as you say, it's in a museum somewhere. I do think there are exceptions to the rule. So I think the Natalie Portman example that you just mentioned is a really good illustration of that. I do prefer to see true vintage on the red carpet, because that's, you know, with my sustainability hat on, that's kind of what it's about for me, to have that kind of piece that already exists and being able to rewear that sends a really powerful message when it comes to sustainability.
Okay, well, let's talk about what we think is going to happen at the Met in a couple weeks. I'm going to take a guess that there's going to be fewer vintage pieces than there were last year at Carl. And the reason being that last year was an homage to all things Karl Lagerfeld, Chanel, Fendi, Chloe. And it was on theme to really sport looks that he had designed throughout his very illustrious career. This year, though, the dress code is a little nebulous. It's the Garden of Time, and I think that we're going to see a lot of floral, but less vintage. I'm not unhappy about it, but I'm just making a call that I think there's going to be fewer vintage pieces.
I think probably two. I'm thinking there might be more recreations in line with the Dior Juno dress that you mentioned, because obviously the theme of the exhibition is Sleeping Beauties. So I think we probably will see a lot of, I'm hoping, guests recreate some of those museum pieces that, you know, you wouldn't be able to wear. But I'm also holding out and hoping that, you know, some celebrities will have tracked down some super rare vintage pieces that are wearable. I know Zendaya is one of the co-hosts, and obviously she and Law love a vintage piece. So I'm hoping that maybe we'll see her in something amazing and archival.
Oh, the dream, the Zendaya dream. Okay, thank you so much, y'all. This was such a fun conversation. I could talk about vintage all day. Bye, Emily. We'll see you soon.
Bye. Thank you, guys.
Bye. That's it for the show. If you want to go shopping with me, send me a DM. Chloe and Chomo will be back next week. Just kidding, do not.
Bye.
See ya.
The Run Through with Vogue is a production of Condé Nast. The show is produced by Susie Lechtenberg, Chelsea Daniel, and Alex John Burns, with engineering from Jake Loomis, Gabe Quiroga, and James Yost. It is mixed by Mike Kutchman. Chris Bannon is Condé Nast's head of global audio. When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things you love and want are checked by experts. Not just any experts, they're real people who really love these things. And they have real hands-on authentication experience. So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says authenticity guarantee, you can shop with confidence, knowing every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified real and authentic. That's how you know that eBay's got your back. Because when you finally step into those sneakers, slip on that watch, light up in gold, swing that handbag, or step out in that streetwear, you'll get that authentic glow. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms.